it. "Do you want to deliver your son?" inquired the resident doctor, smiling at Milos. She was Korean, with simple no-nonsense glasses and her hair pulled back in a ponytail, willowy and tall, easily over 6 feet. I don't remember her name, but she was a fourth-year resident and extremely sharp. I felt comfortable that she was at the helm of my birthing ship. Only a few more pushes and it would all be over.
"Yes, sure, of course." Milos was suddenly nervous.
It was probably a bit different being a doctor to your own child versus a perfect stranger. Heading over to a drawer in a cabinet close by, the nurse inquired over her shoulder, "What does your glove says?"
Pause. I could tell that Milos was overwhelmed.
"Don't worry, I think you're a medium. Try these." Handing him the white rubber gloves, the nurse was back at my side, letting the resident doctor and her supervisor do the heavy lifting. One last push and our son was out. Milos was holding a wrinkly little body. The doctors helped him place the tiny angel on my bare chest. What was the first thing that I said? Tears streamed down my cheeks as I held my precious, precious baby boy. "I want more." Laughter erupted. Apparently, that's not a normal reaction. Looking over at Milos, awe and wonder filled his features. Unshed emotion pooled at the corners of his eyes. I scooted over so he could partially lay on the gurney and be next to us. In that moment, the doctors and the nurses were forgotten. There was no one else in the room but us three. I couldn't stop crying and staring and kissing Milos and our baby, gently rubbing his tiny little head.
"He smells like Dr. Pepper," Milos stated, getting an even bigger laugh.
My heart was swollen with a love greater than I could have ever imagined. Afraid to blink as I might miss some tiny detail, I stared at our beautiful child. His wet brown hair was curly and covered his head, with ridiculously long eyelashes sprouting out of his large dark eyes. A cute little button nose hovered above a set of red full lips. The dimple in his chin was identical to my own, something I had inherited from my father. He was perfect. The little guy didn't cry, he just kept making the same noise over and over. Ooh, 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 ooh. Looking around the room, it was like he was saying, "What the heck just happened?" It didn't take long for him to quiet down. Our little boy knew that he was with his mama, and he snuggled to my chest, melting to the sound of my heartbeat. Too infatuated with my mini miracle, I hardly noticed the doctors furiously working to put me back together. I had several small tears that they had to hop on fast before I lost too much blood. It was the best day of my life. We didn't rush bringing our parents back into the room. Hours went by with just Milos, Misha, and I. We chose Misha because it was the name of Milos's late grandfather. Milos described him as a kind, hardworking man who would have done anything for his family. My baby daddy also wanted his son to have a Serbian name, understandably, and I didn't care what he was called as long as he was mine. Little Misha was 6 pounds, 18 ounces, and almost 23 inches long. He was skinny but strong, able to lift his head up and turn it side to side while on his stomach at not even a day old. My long labor, however, had left him with a tight jaw and a stiff neck, so getting him to breastfeed was another story. Feeling that we couldn't keep the rest of the gang waiting in suspense any longer, it was time to bring in the grandmas. Our nurse was attempting to get my little man to latch as they entered, to no avail. He was fussing, hungry, and wanting his first breakfast. Before baby, I would have been mortified to have my boobs out on display in front of my mother and almost mother. After baby, no shits given. All I cared about was my son and his needs. I would have run around fully naked at the hospital if that is what it would have taken to fill his belly. Seeing my mom's face as she entered and spotted Misha for the first time was adorable. Clapping her hands together, she cooed and fawned, exclaiming that he was the most beautiful thing she had ever seen, and introduced herself as one of his grandmothers. Zora was a different story. Seeing me struggle with getting him to feed, trying different positions, she marched up to the bed, grabbed my right breast, and tried to put Misha's head to a position that she thought was correct. I grabbed her hand, shoved it away, and drew my baby away from her reach. My reaction was instant and swift. All my instincts were on overdrive, and they screamed, "Keep Zora away from my son." Furious, she marched out of the room and returned a few minutes later. Oh no, I had not seen this coming. Chapter 11. Graham Monster. If you are pregnant and listening to my story, get as much rest as possible before your birth because the first 3 days are the hardest. Not mentally challenging as much as physically taxing. We were moved from the birthing suite to a recovery room where they would monitor my healing, perform multiple tests on our new offspring, and make sure we had the hang of things before sending us on our merry way. Misha was such a sweet newborn. Relaxed and easygoing, barely grunting when they drew his blood and administered some of his first shots. Crying was too much work unless he was hungry. The nurses kept saying, "Just wait, he's tired from the birth, give it 24 hours. Wrong. A full day came and went, and he was still the same. My conclusion was that Misha was either really smart and already had everything figured out, or not so bright and oblivious. Either way, I loved him to pieces. Milos and Zora headed back to our apartment shortly after our transition, as Louis needed to be let out and cared for. They were also going to get some rest and return later that afternoon. Partially what prompted their hasty exit was Zora's continued behavioral issues. Let me set the scene. Our cozy new room was a twin to the previous, just on a smaller scale and on a different floor. After getting changed into a new hospital gown, my heart was full, but my stomach was painfully empty. I would have eaten cardboard at that point if it would have dulled the hunger pains. The hospital had a menu, room service style, so we called and eagerly put in our orders. Less than 30 minutes later, a sweet young man with red hair knocked on our open door and wheeled in a cart loaded with our meals before shyly making his exit. My mom jumped up to divvy up our specific orders, knowing that I was absolutely famished. Eggs, toast, oatmeal, and fruit for me, an omelet and toast for Milos, you get the idea. As she went to hand my fiancé his tray, Zora popped up so she was in between them and yanked it out of her hands. "I feed my son," she said, glaring as she turned and handed the tray to Milos. He acted as if nothing had happened, lifting off the top lid and inspecting the contents. My mom stood there, stunned. I chalked all of it up to lack of sleep and stress. Maybe Zora was being testy because of the time change, traveling, feeling left out, language issues, a myriad of excuses. Her behavior was uncalled for as I was working through my own issues at the moment. Selfish, as she was aware that I had bigger problems like feeding my child. 4 different lactation consultants confirmed that breastfeeding was pretty much a lost cause, which was incredibly frustrating. Everything after that was a blur. Awake for almost 32 hours, using a breast pump every hour so I could carefully transfer colostrum to a feeding syringe and patiently get every drop I could into my baby, talk about a rough start. My "nothing is going to ruin this" attitude was still holding, even poked, prodded, and bone-weary. It is the same now as it was then. When it comes to taking care of my son, I don't hesitate. I spent 2 days in the hospital after the birth. Misha could finally kind of latch. It took him forever to eat, but the experts were satisfied enough to give us the boot. From there on out, we were on our own. It was hysterical putting Misha in his take-home outfit that he was positively swimming in. I had failed to purchase any newborn clothing, only 0 to 3 months and above, convinced that my child couldn't possibly ever be that tiny. Luckily, there was a boutique with kit items next to our townhouse. One of the first stops would be to correct my error in fabric judgment. Feeling nostalgic, I packed every baby hat and swaddle blanket that the hospital had provided, not technically stealing, as all the items in the cart were paid for by my insurance, which would eventually be partially paid by me. Speaking of swaddling, Misha was impossible. No matter how tightly you had him wrapped, his hands were out in under a minute. He was a baby Houdini and already making me laugh. Normally when I'm in a car as a driver or passenger, I am relatively relaxed. With Misha, every vehicle I spotted was the enemy. Adding to my mental list that I needed to purchase a baby on board window sign so the world would understand that we were carrying precious cargo. Sitting next to Misha in the middle row, I was endlessly checking to see if the car seat straps were too tight or if he was warm enough. Not a peep. The nugget just chilled like he had done this a million times, his dark eyes open and his breathing wheezy from his still developing lungs. As much as I was ready to leave the hospital, I was dreading being in the townhouse with the current climate. 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, totaling 1,300 square feet. It wasn't the biggest space for now 4 humans and a large dog. Privacy was non-existent. We had a celebratory dinner our first night. Zora had made salmon, potato soup with buckwheat, as well as roasted vegetables on the side. That woman could cook. Milos had purchased a thoughtful card with an even sweeter handwritten message. What you would expect in a love note, the pouring of one's heart to paper. I really did have hope. Hope that we could all be in one living space and get along. Sadly, Zora was just getting started. After a beautiful dinner in which I kept leaking breast milk through my shirt and had surrendered to stuffing hand towels in my nursing bra, it was time for Misha to get his first sponge bath. Having done my research, I had bought a special tub that would suspend our son like a hammock so his umbilical cord wouldn't be affected. Sorry about the reference to my leaking coconuts, but when I set out to tell this story, I promised myself that I would be honest to a fault even if it was uncomfortable. Cheers to awkward moments. Zora insisted that we put chamomile tea bags in the water to steep before using. I Google, discover it's fine, why not? Producing a pink round container of lotion from the depths of her suitcase, Zora swears that it is the best thing to use on a new baby. My soon-to-be husband agreed that it would be superior to what I had purchased. None of this bothered me. Misha wasn't just my son, he was Milos's son, and it was only fair that he had some say in his care. What royally pissed me off was that Zora didn't even ask if I wanted help in the bathing process before diving in and giving our firstborn his first bath. You wash from here to face and hold like this. See? She said. Every article I had read stated in bathing, you go from the cleanest to the dirtiest. Why would you clean their cute little butts and then proceed to use the same towel and water on their sensitive faces? I mean, hello, logic. Working quickly, she flipped him over in her arms so he was facing down, with his neck in one of her hands, scrubbing his back with the other and in general giving me a heart attack. Misha's pink arms and legs were flailing. Feeling my temper rising, I was irate. I should be having this first moment with our son. I wanted to be gentle and go slow. Leaning over to me, concerned, my mom whispered in my ear, "Your chest, are you all right?" Red patches were blossoming from my newfound cleavage up, a physical manifestation of my current stress levels. Not that Zora noticed. Misha was cleaned, slobbered with the sweet-smelling contents of the pink jar, and Zora carried him to our bed to put on a diaper, not once asking if I wanted to be handling these responsibilities. My hands felt tied, trying not to be rude by pointing out her rudeness. Feigning exhaustion, I shooed everyone out of the bedroom but Milos, our now almond-scented offspring, and myself. Misha was out in under 5 minutes, having found the experience as draining as I did.
My mother wants to give you her necklace, you know, the one I showed you, with the diamonds.
Months before, Milos had called me over while on his laptop to show me a picture of a jewelry piece. He had explained that Zora wanted to give it to whoever Milos married. It was hard to describe. Loop after loop of metal created a flowing ring of gold and diamonds that would drape around one's neck like a collar. I could have sworn that Zora was listening at the door. I saw shadows of tiny feet through the cracks at the base. Would Barbara come back to Serbia with me? I'm thinking next week. We could do a really quick trip, just fly there, get it, bring it back. Having an American citizen carrying it, she won't be questioned. I really want you to have it.
According to Milos, Nikola and himself had bought it for Zora as a surprise.
Also, according to Milos, the necklace was valued at over $250,000. Southwest turquoise rings were more my speed, but it was a sweet gesture.
I don't think she will go, but that is kind of you to offer, I placated, already knowing what her answer would be.
I still brought it up to Barbara the following morning, not even having the full request pass through my lips before she was shaking her head in refusal.
There is no way I'm leaving you, she said, and thank God she didn't.
In Zora's eyes, nothing I did was good enough. Diapers, I kept putting them on wrong as she examined and adjusted my work after every changing.
We need to bind his hips. It is good.
She was a broken record. It didn't matter that every pediatrician at the hospital plus his new primary doctor stated that it was unnecessary and barbaric. My son's belly button was slightly protruding, a totally normal occurrence in the healing process. Whether he had an innie or an outie didn't matter to me. Zora's repeated suggestion was to place a coin and secure it with gauze around his stomach, forcing it down. Another thing his new pediatrician was firmly against. How I burped him, wrong, chalking it up to my inexperience because it took me longer than she thought it should. My lack of singing, wrong, I should be singing to him. His clothes, or lack thereof, appalling. My little tyke was a heater. Even in the womb, I would only sleep with a sheet on at night because I had my own personal bed warmer. During his gestation, you could have spotted me at Whole Foods on a daily basis just standing in the freezer section, my eyes closed in blissful relief. Wearing any of his newborn clothing we tried, even when the material was paper thin and purely cotton, Misha would start sweating and fussing. My mommy instinct said no clothes, just a diaper, and swaddled in a cotton muslin blanket that was breathable was the way to go. No different than his first few days at the hospital. Zora kept insisting that he needed to wear a onesie.
Brittany, he is baby. He is cold. Touch, see? He needs clothes. What are you doing?
Followed by her clucking and shaking her head, taking Misha from my arms. You do not, I repeat, do not take a brand new baby from a mother without her offering. Day by day, the situation declined.
We need to get Misha Serbian citizenship, Zora exclaimed.
Not a question.
Of course, Mama, when we get birth certificate, we will apply for it, Milos told her.
How had I not noticed before that Milos was a mama's boy? Maybe I had been too in love to realize, and desperately wanting Zora's approval, I had overlooked her bossy nature. Serbian citizenship? This set off warning bells in my head. What if Milos and I were in Serbia with Misha, and Milos decided that he wanted to stay? What then when our son was also a citizen, but I was not?
Worry prevented me from sleeping, up constantly with anxiety and struggling to breastfeed.
Thankfully, I had Milos explain to Zora that when I was feeding her grandbaby, I wanted privacy as my boobs were constantly on full display. The perfect excuse for her to leave me alone for small periods of time. I kept waiting for Milos to take a strong interest in his son. He was detached, which was also unexpected. In my head, I had pictured him as a doting, loving father who would be taking a million photos and sitting by the hour admiring what we had created. My future physician needed to study for his board, so he couldn't help me out at all with Misha. One nappy change, and he had retired from diaper duty. Milos decided the first night we returned to no longer sleep in our bedroom. His excuse was also his looming board exams, which he said he needed rest to be able to cram in information. My mom and Zora offered to take over at night with Misha, giving me a break, but I didn't trust Zora, and it wouldn't be fair to ask that only my mother watched him. Milos had to sleep somewhere, if not with us, so his solution was his mother's bedroom, to her odd delight. The more I kept her away from her grandson, the more Zora tried to keep Milos away from me. Walking the hallways in the morning with Misha became a norm, as it provided a temporary escape from our prison. I would peek my head into Zora's room to say hello, missing Milos terribly, but trying to understand. Shouldn't having a baby bring us closer together? It seemed to be creating a void in our relationship, which I had no clue how to fix. Vividly artificial red hair always caught my eye first. Zora sitting on her bed in one of her short nightgowns with Milos beside her on his laptop, taking yet another practice quiz. She was reading one of the books I had loaned her and rubbing Milos's leg. Zora was sans bra or underwear, her large heavy cha-chas at full attention. Their relationship was too close for comfort. While Zora was manipulative, my mom was a gift from heaven. She never pushed me to hold Misha, only waited for when I asked. She didn't tell me what to do or how to do it, but provided insight when requested. Without her steadiness, I would have cracked. It was becoming plainly obvious that Zora was possessive. Milos was hers, and Misha was hers, period. The mind games extended to my mom as well, snippy remarks and sour looks. Even crazier is that all of this happened in 3 days. Can you believe it? 3 days and lines had been drawn in the sand. Where was the strong but kind Zora I had first met? Who was this intruder in my home? December 10th, 2016. I had given up trying to breastfeed and was now pumping and feeding, which Misha was more than okay with. It would mean a lot more work on my end with bottles and sterilizing parts, but he was fat and happy and loving the steady flow of nutrients with minimal effort on his part. Hearing me talk to Misha as he was still awake but milk drunk, Milos opened our bedroom door and popped his head in. "How is he?" he inquired, still in his pajamas. He looked gorgeous in a white t-shirt and flannel pants. Even the scruff on his face added to his appeal. "Perfect. Want to hold him?" "Please say yes. Please, please say yes." They had emphasized at the hospital that both parents should spend time each day with skin-to-skin contact. Bonding. Milos had only held Misha on his chest once at the hospital, and that was it.
"Maybe in a bit. Can we talk?"
Yuck. My three least favorite words put together in that order to form a sentence. Can we talk? "Sure, come on in." I lay Misha on the middle of the bed so Milos could sit on the other side and kiss or play with him if he so desired.
"Mama is upset. She says you haven't been letting her hold Misha, but Barbara gets to hold him all the time. She flew all this way, Brittany, from another country, to be here for the birth."
Great, now I was being guilted. Not wanting to add further strain, I picked our son back up and offered him to his father. She needs to understand that I am just more comfortable with my mom, and my mom is only really getting extra time while I'm in the shower, but when, besides that, has it been unbalanced? Zora, stirring the pot for no reason.
"I know, but you always hand Misha to your mom when you go to grab things, but not to her."
Milos was now holding Misha, but it looked more like an obligation than a father cradling his son. I gritted my teeth, frustrated. "Milos, I have crazy protective instincts right now. Your parental unit doesn't listen. I leave her with Misha for 1 second and she's trying to put clothes on him. I've already told her no, diaper and swaddle only. Or she keeps forcing the bottle on him when he is full, waking him up over and over to try to get him to eat more. And why? Our son was happy and healthy and well cared for. Frustrated but wanting a resolution, I tried to come up with a compromise. How about you take him right now, and you and Zora spend some time with him alone, then you can try to explain to Zora, gently, what is bothering me. Sound good? I said. He nodded his head, still holding Misha in his strong arms. Our little man had fallen asleep during our discussion and looked peacefully nestled in his embrace. I hated that he was being moved, but newborns aren't super sensitive to noise or being jostled around, so I let it go. As Milos left the room, taking our son to Zora, I heard her squeal in glee and talk in rapid baby voice in Serbian. I wanted to tell her to shut up. Whisper, you cow. Can't you see that he is resting? Postpartum hormone drop, as well as lack of sleep, was making me grumpy. Pondering our adventure into parenthood so far, it was grim. Not once had Milos opened his mouth and defended me when Zora opened hers and attacked. So far, Zora hadn't offered to pay for a single thing either, not diapers or the food we were eating or even to foot part of the rent, which was my sole responsibility. Her son was set to inherit millions of dollars from her estate, and she couldn't even fork out a few dollars for a dinner here or there? Milos offered to pay with a debit card linked to my checking account, which meant I still paid. So generous of him. Lost. That is what I felt. At a loss. If it had been under a week and things were already horrid, how was I going to make it 3 months? Milos had hinted she might even stay longer, closer to 6. My chest tightened. All I wanted was my son back. I didn't want him out of my sight. The sound of knuckles tapping on our closed bedroom door startled me from my thoughts. Come in, I called. Barbara entered, the sounds of Zora cooing and Milos's rapid Serbian louder now. Good morning. Did you sleep well? I was smiling through the pain, but my mom was on to me. What's wrong now? She said. Having her close the door behind her, I explained Zora's complaints. Shaking her head, I could tell that my mother was hurting for me and equally frustrated with how things were escalating. Unnecessarily so. Honey, your chest. This isn't good for your health. Red patches once again blanketed my chest and neck. Don't cry, don't cry. Crap, crying. This is absolutely ridiculous. It isn't a competition. We should be doing everything to help you, not making it harder. Want me to go get Misha? This was my battle to fight. I quickly wiped my tears and stood up. I can get him. Hold on. Grabbing my fuzzy gray bathrobe, I tied it in a loose knot and headed towards their voices. Zora's door was wide open and she and Milos were on either side of Misha, who was sandwiched in the middle. I could have killed the bitch. She had put 2 thick blankets and a comforter over the top of Misha, leaving his head exposed. He was sweating and fussy, trying to get out from underneath the mountain of textiles. The little hair he had was in ringlets, curly and wet from exertion. They were smiling and joking, Zora's arm wrapped possessively around Misha, giving me a smug look as she noticed me in the doorway, as if to say, "See, this is how it is done." "Look at him. He is flawless. No marks," she said, rubbing his damp, struggling head with her thick fingers. That was it. "Zora, what are you doing? He is miserable," I snapped. Without pause, I walked the 5 feet to the bed, reached between them, gently picked up Misha, and left. Milos would have started screaming at me if my mom hadn't been in the room when I returned to the master suite. He was falling close behind, fire in his eyes, and I could tell we would be having another lovely chat later. I didn't care. Grand Monster, Monster-in-Law, Evil Troll, I called her every name in the book in my head and more as I hid the rest of the day in my bedroom with Misha. Not that Zora didn't knock on the door at least once an hour.
How is my baby? She asked over and over and over.
Last time I checked, you didn't just give birth. If he belonged to anyone, it would be Milos and me, and even then, Misha belonged to himself. He wasn't a possession, he was my heart.
Sure enough, Milos came to have a talk and take a break from studying around 7 p.m. that evening.
A rant was coming, but I wasn't having it.
What is wrong with you? He started.
Wrong? Milos, did you not see our son covered in sweat and straining to get out from under the blankets? Are you blind?
Milos went to retort, but I cut him off.
You just let her belittle me. You don't stand up to her. I am paying all the bills. Do I even have an engagement ring? No. I don't care if it costs $10. You need to step up. Have you passed your board exams and gotten a job? No. It has been over a year when it should have been 2 months, as you promised. I am sick of everything being on me.
I could tell that I had struck a nerve, but it was the truth.
You know that I have been trying to get the boards done. I took care of you all during your pregnancy, Milos defended.
I was lying in bed for 5 months, not moving. You have no excuse. There are no excuses, not anymore.
Milos softened. He knew that I was right, even if my verbal delivery was harsh.
Do you want to go for a walk with Misha?
Getting out of the house sounded heavenly. It was a warm night, and I had been wanting to try out my new baby carrier. As luck had it, Misha was stirring. He was fed, changed, clothed, placed in the carrier with a newborn insert, and then draped with a swaddle blanket around him for good measure. We were ready for his first walk around the block.
Barbara had been trying to make an effort with Zora, hoping it would ease friction and maybe get her off my back. Our respective creators were sitting in my mom's room with Barbara on her bed and Zora on the computer chair. Her social media profile was pulled up, displaying pictures of her summer home in Bosnia.
We are going for a walk, I announced. Misha was already fast asleep in the odd contraption.
Good for you guys. Where are you going to? Asked my mom, genuine.
It is too cold out. Misha could get sick, Zora complained.
And my grandson could fall out. It is not safe.
Thanks for the buzzkill. Not that I didn't expect it. Pretending like I didn't hear a word she said, I smiled and retorted, Be back in an hour. I have my phone if you guys need me. We walked the short 5-minute path to the somewhat empty clubhouse and sat down on one of the outside couches by the pool. It was magical with a fake fire pit in front of us, giving the night a soft glow, far enough away to be safe and still warmed by the artificial heat.
I had everything when I met you, Milos whispered, more to himself than for my ears.
It was the same discussion we had hundreds of times before. How he had the world at his fingertips and gave it all up to be with me. I pretended to listen, but zoned out. I was enjoying the fresh air and time alone with my new family. An hour went by and I was starting to fade. Relaxing for the first time in days, my eyes kept closing, begging me to let them stay shut and slumber. We lazily wandered back to the townhouse. Milos was in a better mood after getting to talk about himself for an extended period of time. Louis greeted us at the top of the stairs, shaking his butt in happiness upon our return. He had been such a good dog around his new friend, sniffing Misha and licking him a few times, but we were being extra cautious with their interactions until Misha was a little older and stronger. That dog was a bowling ball, not always aware of his size, and had a tendency just to knock right into you when in play mode, which was always. Milos went to the kitchen to make an espresso, and I headed to my mom's room with Misha still in my pack. I could tell when I entered the room something had happened.
Are you okay? I asked.
For the past hour, Zora has been off the rails. Texting and calling Milos, but he wasn't answering, pacing. She kept saying that Misha is going to get sick.
I tried to assure her that you guys were together and fine, my mom answered. Milos's phone was on silent, and he had left it at the apartment by accident. Enough was enough. I blew. Marching into the kitchen, where Zora was pouting on the couch, whining and lecturing Milos on the dangers of our outing, I confronted her in a heated whisper so as not to disturb Misha with this bullshit. Zora, can I talk to you? Alone? I asked.
Why? She can't understand. I have to translate. Milos interrupted.
Bull fucking shit. That woman understood every word I said, often feigning ignorance. I had caught her a few times in this, so I knew it to be true.
I need to talk to Zora now, I insisted.
Anything you have to say, you are going to have to say in front of both of us. She can't understand.
Fine. Zora, I need you to back off. All I have wanted is your approval. I am a new mom. Is it so hard just to tell me that I am doing a good job?
Laughing, Zora clucked her tongue, dismissing my statements.
Brittany, what are you saying? I love you, she replied.
It was like talking to a brick wall. I wanted to scream. I wanted to rip out my hair. Instead, I turned and left the living room and headed back to my mom's. Milos and Zora were close behind. Barbara's sleeping quarters suddenly felt too small, suffocating.
Mama, I think I know what this is about. It isn't you, Milos said.
He was trying to deflect, but I was not having it.
No, Milos, it is her. Nothing I do is right.
The floodgates were fully open as more tears streamed down my bare cheeks.
You promised you wouldn't tell her, and now you have brought us to this.
Milos looked at me as if I had betrayed him. It took me a moment to process what he was talking about. Aha! He thought my frustration was with his voyeuristic tendencies. I had promised not to tell her, as it was embarrassing enough for him. He was the one bringing it up.
Fine, tell her, Brittany. I can't believe you. He practically spit at me.
Again, I wasn't planning on saying anything, but the cat was out of the bag. Did you know that your son was watching porn during my entire pregnancy? I was a virgin when I met him. I haven't been with anyone else, and he was watching porn. As my chest started to rack with sobs, I took Misha out of the carrier and laid him on the bed next to my mom, not wanting even then to wake him.
Milos, exclaimed Zora, disappointed in her son, but not surprised.
Turning to me, she plainly stated,
Brittany, he is a man.
Your son was on live webcams doing God knows what, and that is okay? Him being a man was not a satisfactory answer.
What do you want? Do you want us to leave? Zora huffs.
Whoa, slow down. No one had said anything about leaving. Looking at Misha on the bed next to my mom, she was now enraged.
My baby, she yelled, pointing at Misha.
Oh, hell no. Standing up, I got right in her face. I was a good 2 feet taller than Zora. Time to make something very clear once and for all. No, he is my son. The hairy mole on the left corner of her mouth twitched. She stormed out, went into her room, and grabbed her suitcase. Throwing her clothes in, she continued yelling in Serbian, a few cuss words for sure, as Milos had already taught me the basics. My fiancé's face was blank, not happy, not sad, not angry or concerned.
Do you want us to go? He inquired.
If I was being honest, the answer was yes. I nodded my head. December 11th, 2016. Milos moved out of the townhouse with Zora and Louis. My heart shattered. Chapter 12. Cancer. I was so confused. I felt like I had failed. I was devastated but also relieved, heartbroken but furious. My birth had been ruined, and the first week thus far had been pure torture. None of it was fair. I had fought so hard to come to terms with my pregnancy. The house I had loved was sold, all of my friends were in Los Angeles, and I again was running out of money while waiting for Milos to finally be able to chip in. Now, I wasn't even sure if we were still together. Yep, rock bottom. December 12th, 6 days after giving birth, I texted Milos first, practically begging for him to come back, even inviting Zora as well if it meant he would just come home and talk. Not even knowing they had also taken Louis until the front door had shut. I reserved my tears for when Misha was asleep, as the pain was almost unbearable. Made worse by the fact that Milos, a doctor, said I couldn't leave the house with Misha until he was at least 1 month old for fear of disease invading his delicate immune system. All I had to do all day was wait, stuck in my own living hell. Exiled mother and son didn't show up until the next day, dropping by for 20 minutes and leaving again. Milos seemed to be enjoying the emotional torture. He wanted to punish me for kicking him out. More so for kicking out his mom, whatever. In his mind, I needed to be put in my place. Mama's boy to the max. Fluids were leaking from at least 3 places on my body, my stitches hurt from the tearing any time I attempted to sit, there was purple bruising under my eyes from sleep deprivation, and my boobs were covered in abrasions from Misha's attempts to nurse before I gave in and started pumping. And why stop there? I kept having hot flashes as my hormones tried to regulate. Milos didn't care. Why didn't he? Why didn't he care about Misha? Were these games really necessary? By December 15th, I was going insane. 96 hours spent praying and hoping, worrying and crying, breaking. I pleaded with him on the phone to come over, talk to me, forgive me for anything I had done wrong. The only thing that could stop my hurting was him. "I don't think I can come," he said. "My mom is making dinner for Mary and Kevin. I have to go buy bread." Mary and Kevin are Zora's cousins, if you remember, the ones he was renting the house from back when he lived in San Diego when we first met. Great, and I would be paying for the bread. He was still using the debit card linked to my checking, which was driving me nuts. I started pulling up my bank account online multiple times a day, seeing where he had been and what he had purchased. Milos' explanation was that his mom was footing the bill for 2 hotel rooms at the Rancho Malago Inn, a fancy boutique hotel with an award-winning restaurant and spa. Milos couldn't very well ask her for money for gas and toothpaste when she was spending close to $4,000 a week. And the car that he was driving was still the one that I was paying the lease on. I was emotionally suffering, financially supporting him when we no longer lived together and he was concerned with groceries? Yep, rock bottom. I told him I didn't want to live. I told him that I was in so much pain and I needed him just to come home. I needed him to talk to me and fix things. The anguish I was feeling was beyond anything I had ever experienced. I needed him, and he needed to buy bread. "Milos, we are done. Return the keys, the car, my debit card. I mean it. We're through," I said with finality. By this time, it was close to midnight. Misha was asleep in his crib, and my mom was awake, the dark marks under her eyes becoming a twin to my own. "Are you okay?" she asked, concern in her eyes. She must have overheard our conversation. No, but I stayed silent. "You should never have to beg someone to love you," she said. With that sentence, my mother was trying to get through to me. I knew she was right, but I just wanted to take a shower and be alone. Turning on the water, I rotated the handle to a comfortable temperature. Standing under the steady stream, I let it wash over me as I cried. It wasn't a game. What I had said on the phone to Milos, I had meant. Enough with limbo. I had to put our relationship somewhere, and that somewhere was Splitsville. Click, the door opened, startling me. Milos walked in and closed it, a smile on his face. It wasn't a nice smile. Nothing about his smile was warm and friendly. He was enjoying my agony.
"Why were you screaming like that?"
he asked, referring to my last words before I had hung up on him roughly 20 minutes earlier. How dare he let himself in uninvited? I refused to be ashamed by my bruised and battered nakedness. Facing him like I was fully decked in armor, not just my skin, I didn't cower. "Because we are done. Give me my fucking debit card and keys."
He laughed. "But it's in the I came to you and the kid."
If he wanted to watch, fine. I grabbed the shampoo and started to wash my hair. "No, this is all your rules and control. I am done."
"Brittany, I am studying."
Not able to contain my fury, my body shook with rage. "Your studying is more important than a child? Because you are watching porn for months. You're a fucking idiot." He was still smiling. I just wanted to smack his face. Words hurt, but people's actions sometimes sting harder. Nothing was making sense anymore. We were engaged, had a baby, and now he was standing in a bathroom enjoying me crumble. "I told you I want to die. I told you I want to die and you're going to buy bread? Fuck you. Leave, get out, give me the car, take a fucking taxi home." Still calm, in control, he thought all of this was a joke.
"Didn't we have a deal? I would get to finish my boards."
It was always about him. "Milos, I just had a baby. Fuck your boards." Sorry for all the expletives. I'm not big on cussing, but some situations warrant the use of such language. No need to type out the whole conversation, but there was more yelling, more Milos laughing, and brushing it off. Now I was out of the shower and wrapped in a towel. He approached me and gave me a hug, treating me like a spoiled child that had just thrown a tantrum, condescending. Hating myself for it, I wanted him to hug me. His fingers ran through my wet hair, massaging my scalp as I cried.
"Shh, this is only temporary. I love you. Give me time to study and I will be back by Christmas."
His dry lips touched my wet mouth, sweet, assuring. I didn't want to give in to him, but my mind was saying one thing and my heart another. I loved him even then. Knowing that there was an end date to this nightmare gave me renewed hope. I had taken a break from YouTube, but it was time to jump back in. Not only for monetary reasons, but because I just plain missed making videos and the online interactions. With Milos and Louis gone, it was tricky. I had to vlog when Milos decided to drop by, pretending that we were still living together under one roof. That was his idea. I also had to explain Louis's absence, making some lame excuse like, Louis was at a friend's house to play with their dogs, and that's why he wasn't in the videos. Stating on camera that I had been overwhelmed with the baby and our puppy was being neglected, all of which was a lie. I think I missed Louis even more than I missed Milos. That lump of fur and I had bonded. We just clicked, and he had been a steady and smelly companion. My baby daddy, when he did come over, only wanted to see me. He blamed my mother for everything, looking for a scapegoat and all of this instead of our combined mistakes. I kept hoping that he would take an interest in our son because I wanted Misha to feel wanted by both of his parents. Could it be that Milos was jealous of the baby? All of my attention was on the little guy now, which couldn't be helped. I have since heard from multiple women that their partner or husband was competitive with the offspring when they first came home. It kind of makes sense. Women carry the children, men help create them. A mother has been a mother for the entire period of development, while a father becomes a father when the child is born. Maybe he just needed time to fall in love with Misha. Milos just kept wanting to go out to dinner or grab coffee, just the two of us. It was getting annoying, as this also meant leaving Zora with my mom, and my mom having to protect Misha from Zora alone. The adoration I harbored for my European man was dissipating, and I think Milos felt it too. Our relationship couldn't survive this. Too much had happened to be able to recover. You don't just marry an individual, you marry the family, and the thought of a lifetime around Zora just killed it. His control over me was lessening no matter what tactics he tried. Then one night, out of nowhere, Milos started making threatening statements as we sat in his parked car.
"Let's go to court, see what the court says. I will get custody of Misha," he proclaimed.
Milos kept wanting to separate me from our son, from my mom. He wanted to get me alone so he could berate me without prying eyes or ears. He was trying to figure out what twisted buttons to push to win back some sort of hold. Panic. They had money to burn. I didn't. "Fine, if you want to go that route, let's do it," I stated, calling his bluff. Not that it didn't petrify me to the core. We weren't married, he wasn't a U.S. citizen, and his family was involved in organized crime. I wasn't a legal expert, but I was pretty sure, even with a bad lawyer, that I would have a strong case. What terrified me wasn't what would happen in court, but what could potentially happen out of it. Would his family retaliate if I stood my ground? Milos, of course, backed down. Empty threats. I knew that he was still in love with me, but had Zora whispering in his ear. Putting thoughts into his head and stirring up trouble instead of trying to heal. Christmas came and went, and Milos was still living at the hotel with Zora.
"I need to study, Brittany, when I finish my boards," he promised anew.
The day after Christmas, Milos was back at the townhouse, and guess what? Yelling again. Forcing my mom to take Misha in the other room and let me handle it, he verbally pummeled me for hours. Zora was having heart issues because she wasn't getting to spend enough time with her grandson. I didn't understand. They had received multiple invitations to come back in and fix things, but to no avail. Like a twisted version of Groundhog Day, my life was on repeat. Wake up, love my son, get screamed at, cry myself to sleep. In all his rages, there was eventual calm. He had worked out whatever the heck he was feeling and wanted to make amends. He said he loved me, that I was his soulmate.
"Everything is going to be okay."
Blaming his outbursts on something external like his stress level with his second boards only 4 days away. After most verbal altercations came intimacy. He wanted physical contact, to make out, to try to get me to mess around. I fell for it the first few times, wanting so desperately for any form of comfort and kindness from him. Over a week of this behavior, fight, hook up, was starting to make me feel dirty and used. Giving in to what he wanted just so he would stop yelling. One of these nights, Nicola and his stolen money popped into my head. "Whatever happened to Arthur?" I inquired. Milos froze but didn't shy away from my question.
"Arthur is no more."
Thump, thump, my heart.
"What do you mean, no more? Is he dead?"
Shrugging as if this was normal, he stated,
"Of course, Brittany. Nicola and his business partners couldn't let him get away with what he had done. There were consequences."
Thump, thump, thump. I was silent, but he continued talking.
"I have killed people. I have seen bodies nailed to the wall, heads in soup," he reflected.
Milos said all of this casually, as if he was talking about the weather, not murder. Suddenly, I wanted to vomit. He had promised me before that he had never killed anyone or committed any crimes that put someone in harm's way. Did he just lie to me to get me to fall for him?
"Nikola had the promotion. He is now the head of the Serbian mafia," he concluded.
I had to be smart. I had to play this right.
Nice, was all I could muster. During our eye-opening, to say the least, conversation, he told me to watch The Whistleblower if I wanted to know what his family was really like. It was a movie from 2011 with Rachel Weisz about a UN peacekeeper who exposed human trafficking that occurred after the Bosnian War. What the fuck had I gotten myself into? You probably have been wondering how I've been so detailed, knowing the dates of when events transpired. Around this time, I started taking notes, writing down every instance of yelling, screaming, and violent behavior, just in case I would ever need it. December 27th, 2016. Miloš was back, ranting and out of control. He was a handsome man visually, but his behavior was making him hideous. Looking at my notes right now, here are some highlights of that rendezvous.
I am starting to resent our son. You want me to fail my board exams. You want me to be your bitch forever.
You, the listener, must be thinking, yeah, and what did she say to make him so mad? Come on, it takes two to tango. Also in my notes is what I asserted that sparked this particular verbal fire. I wish things could go back to the way they were. That was it. That was it. And he was off and running. You see, I could have said the sky was blue, and he would have figured out a way to turn it into an attack. All of his remaining clothes he grabbed and threw on the ground. Terrified, I curled up in a ball on my bed as he raged. My mom knocked on the door and opened it. She was holding Misha and at a loss as how to proceed.
Misha just pooped. I need a diaper and baby wipes, she stuttered.
Miloš charged at her, screaming at the top of his lungs.
You get out. You get out. You get out.
He raised his arm like he was going to strike, but just slammed the door in her face. By this point, Miloš had been extremely verbally abusive, but not physical, besides the instance when I was still pregnant. Yes, he would get in my face, throw things, or block my way if I tried to leave a room and he wasn't finished berating me. Things were escalating. He almost hit my mom while she was holding our infant, a truth that I am still ashamed of. Luckily, there was a period of respite. Miloš came down with a severe case of strep throat. Probably all the late-night studying and emotional onslaughts had weakened his health, but I didn't feel sorry for him. Laryngitis was a beautiful side effect. He couldn't yell, and he was too tired from trying to fight off the strep that he had no choice but to back off. Because he was so sick, he couldn't be around Misha, as it would have been extremely dangerous if our young one contracted whatever germs he was hosting. Miloš was so ill that he ended up having to go to the hospital with Zora. Besides his throat being on fire, the last few times I had seen him, he was having strong pains in his side that wouldn't subside. Tests were run to try to pinpoint the cause of this as well. December 30th, 2016. The day of his board exams. He came over in the morning, hand shaking, extremely nervous. Guarded, I couldn't help but feel sorry for him as he repeatedly checked the schedule and fixed his hair. If I didn't have a child with him, I would have been long gone, changed my identity, and lived in a shack somewhere remote. Whether I liked it or not, for the moment, I was stuck with him. Miloš left to take his exam, Miloš called me on his breaks, and again, after he had finished, Miloš was crying.
Brittany, I have failed. I have failed my tests. What am I going to do? Zora had to spend $30,000 for me to be able to do this, and I failed.
All these months of hidden studying where I had bought him every book that he needed and quizzed him for hours with medical flashcards and put my needs aside so he could take practice quiz after practice quiz, and he had failed? I refused to believe it. I am sure that you did good and you are just being too hard on yourself, I said. Now we wait. Leaving him wasn't the question. It was how I was going to go about it that was the riddle. January 6, 2017. I was finally able to get out of the house with my bundle of joy and my very worried mother. We tried to find moments of happiness, like taking Misha to the grocery store for the first time, where he started screeching in the produce section. The broccoli was particularly